So I'm going to begin then with chapter 26, Matthew 26. And I'll probably start with verse 30. But before we do that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are here tonight because we want to focus again on what you've done for us there at Calvary. Lord, we want to understand a little bit more how you expressed your love toward us through your sacrifice. So we pray, speak to us clearly through your word. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to do this. And then again, Lord, we pray for the services on Sunday, not only here, but throughout our land. Lord, this is a big time of year for those who are yours. Lord, we want to celebrate on Sunday. And to do that, we need to understand what happened on Friday. And so we pray, open our eyes, give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 26, verse 30. They had just finished the Lord's Supper here now. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' All the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand.' While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Rabbi,' and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, 'Friend, do what you have come for.' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place. For all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?' At that time Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the throne of and the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have heard now the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, 'It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood.' And they conferred together and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After that, they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of the Jews. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Many women also were there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. That's as far as we're going to read now. We're going to have to wait till Sunday to get the rest of the story. Just a few thoughts in working with this. Recently, I'm sure you've heard of a lot of the tragedies that have been happening. We have been on the news. You've seen reports, I'm sure, of the terrible crash, the bus crash down there in California, where 10 students were killed, and there were quite a number of injured. And just yesterday, I think it was, and the day before, you've probably heard about the ferry over there in South Korea that capsized. And already they know that 25 are dead, and there's 270 that are still missing. Or maybe last spring we had that Boston Marathon bombing that happened over there, and in that case, 3 were killed. There are quite a few that are saying that's what happened to Jesus. He just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. There are those who are saying if he had known what he was going to get into, he wouldn't have gone to that Passover. But he went to that last third Passover, just happened to be there in the wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong people were there. And so that's what happened. And that's how Jesus died and why he died. That isn't what the scriptures tell us. There's more to it than that. And not too long ago, I read an article that was telling me that they thought Jesus was just another political figure that happened to be assassinated. That he was leading the wrong group of people, and the enemy or the other party that he was opposed to was just too big, and they overpowered them. And so they considered him just a victim of political assassination. And believe it or not, there's other rumors too that go around. Down there in Utah, Centerville, Utah, just not too long ago, there was a man that the police were called to his house because there was a disturbance there. And when they came, The man came out of the house carrying a gun, and they told him to drop the gun. They pleaded with him and asked him to drop that gun, and he wouldn't do it. Instead, he picked it up, aimed it right at the police officers, and so they shot him. Then they found out that he was suicidal. Believe it or not, there are those who say Jesus committed suicide by the Jews. That he really wanted to die. He realized he wasn't getting anywhere. And so, just to make it a public thing, and for the cause, he had just put himself out there and stirred up the Jews enough so that they would take him and put him to death. So in that case, I guess they would say he was probably a martyr for a cause, where he made sure that he had himself killed so that the cause, whatever it was he was representing, would go on. Now, there's probably even a larger group that would say the reason Jesus died was as an example. He laid down his life for others, and he did it as an example, so we'll do the same thing. So we'll live our life for others, and we'll lay down our life for others. Well, it's quite an example, all right. But that's not what Scripture says. And I guess this is the point I wanted to just kind of emphasize. The Bible is very specific, very clear on the exact purpose for the death of Jesus. Not in just one or two places. It's permeated throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The reason is very clear why Jesus died. Let me just read a small sampling of some of the verses here that tell us about that. Isaiah's the messianic book of the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, just these two well-known verses. And this was prophecy. You know, this was before Christ was even born. And yet it is clearly stated what his purpose was going to be. Here's what it says. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Jesus died for our sins. 1 John, the first chapter especially, in the 7th verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, not the example of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the reason we needed cleansing for our sins. We often don't look at sin as that serious an object. We consider it to be a mistake, a slip. Sometimes we realize, yeah, we probably aren't so good, but neither is anybody else. We can judge the seriousness of our sins by the penalty that Christ paid. Then you get an idea how serious sin really is. 1 John 2, verse 2. He is the propitiation, or the payment, for our sins. Not for our example or anything else, but for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see how clear Scripture is on this? And then 1 Peter 3, 18. This is one of my favorite. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Why did Jesus die? He died for our sins, because that is what is keeping us away from God. And the whole 9th and 10th chapter of Hebrews, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Isn't that something? Think about that. Then back to 1 Peter again, the first chapter, 18 and 19. These are just a few of the places where I'm sure there's even better verses than these that I've found here. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We are redeemed with the blood of Christ. So why did Jesus die? That verse that Gary read for scripture reading last Sunday, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? So that any whoever wants would believe will not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus died. Very clear. And so we don't want to compromise on that point. Ever. Now, why did he want to die for our sins? That's another question. Why would he want to do that? And again, scriptures make it clear. I can't understand it. And I never will, I'm sure. But the only reason that he wanted to die for our sins is because he loved us. Figure that one out. He loved us. Nobody could deserve it less. But that's why he died. Galatians 2:20 again. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Or Romans 5:8, which you all know. God demonstrated his love toward us. He demonstrated his love toward us. His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. On Sunday, then you get the rest of the story. Jesus did not die by accident, or victim of assassination, or suicide, or as a martyr, or anything else. But he died for our sins, so we could go to heaven, because he loved us. All right. Shall we close in by turning to probably, I've got so many favorites, but this is definitely one of them. 219, Jesus paid it all. Shall we stand? 219.